Imagine waking up to flooded streets, then going down to your basement to see it also underwater. It's exactly what happened to residents and businesses in southern Manitoba. Last night, Steinbach caught 2 months' worth of rain, 103 millimeters in just a few hours. And it's not the first time either. Over a 24-hour period last year, it saw more than 150 millimeters of rain. At the time, Environment Canada is saying it was an event that happens once every 120 or so years. Clearly, it's not been 120 years. It's just been a year since then. Slobodan Simonovic specializes in climate change, flooding, and water resource management. The professor emeritus from Western University out of Ottawa, Ontario, joins us on the line now. Professor, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Is this our new normal, do you think?
Yeah, more often. This is a, $100 question. Fact is relatively straightforward if you look at the physics. The warmer air and the warmer periods are causing situations where the atmosphere stores more moisture, and then that moisture comes back, you know, to us in a short duration, very high intensity thunderstorms. And I think what happened last night, southern Manitoba, could be one of the consequences of this kind of physically changing conditions which are caused by climate change.
Right. And Environment Canada called what happened last night a training thunderstorm.
Training thunderstorms, yeah. This is one of the very specific type of storms where the storms are repeating over the same area multiple times by simply accumulating the amount of water that hits the area.
And so I imagine it makes flooding even worse when you have essentially one storm, a big storm that continues to drop water without moving in one place. I imagine flooding gets worse when you have a training thunderstorm.
Definitely. But we have to also take into consideration this type of flash floods are also the consequence of the type of soil that, you know, the rainfall is hitting. The southern Manitoba is relatively known for heavy clay soil, which is, I think, quite often called Red River clay. And this is extremely fertile soil, but very poorly drained, and therefore kind of prone to flooding and waterlogging.
Right. And that's, of course, also not considering that Manitoba is very flat. So when you combine all of those things, I mean, it sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. However, there are some ways that you can do something to reduce the damage and to improve the kind of protection of the people and the area. Usually we combine so-called structural and non-structural measures. The structural measures are something that's being used usually within municipalities, drainage systems and sewers, culverts, ditches and so on. And the important thing is that they have to be designed and maintained to handle the higher peak flows. That's one of the very significant factors. It's not yet, I think, fully implemented in practice. Then you have a land and soil management potential solutions that can be combined with the structural. These are the soil conservation practices, zoning restrictions, and so on. And on the kind of emergency management side, when the flooding occurs, I think forecasting and kind of emergency preparedness plays also an equally important role. Flash flood early warning systems based on radar-based observations and real-time alerts are reducing potentially the damage and definitely having direct impact on the protecting people.
Right. So do you think that then is what needs to happen here in southern Manitoba? I mean, I specifically mentioned what happened in Steinbach last year and how Environment Canada essentially called it a 120 to 130 year event, but it's just been a year and here we are again. Is that what you think needs to happen to have a flash flood monitoring system or some sort of warning system?
Definitely. I think without that, you know, the regions like the southern part of Manitoba are going to simply face the problems in the future even more often. What I think the Environment Canada is classifying as 120 what year rainfall needs to be properly kind of interpreted. That doesn't mean that rainfall of that intensity is occurring every 120 years. It means that the probability in each year that that rainfall is going to occur is 1 over 125. So that, you know, the larger that number is, that increases basically the risk of flooding.
Right. So are the assumptions then, do you think, that we have right now that comes up with those numbers, with that risk, are they flawed?
I think these assumptions or the processing of the information of each event that occurs requires also to put together with predictions and understanding of what the potentially climate, future climate can bring. So you cannot rely only on the historical events when you're designing a ditch or the culvert capacity and so on, but you need to take into consideration the potential impacts of climate change. And that can be done. There are, you know, methods and methodologies. There are climate models that are offering some information on the precipitation, especially on the temperature. I must say that the current information that comes from the climate model regarding this type of storm events is not extremely accurate yet, because the processes that are occurring are complex and they're occurring on a very focused and smaller regions. However, the models are improving, and I think the new generations of these models will bring, I think, much more accurate information that can be used in then designing and maintaining the infrastructure, as well as providing the real-time awareness and also information for those who may be affected by the events.
Professor, those sound like big things that are future, is advice for the future. What do you have to say to folks who are dealing with what happened last night? What can people and institutions do now?
Yeah, but there are a number of things that, I mean, if you look at the individual level of protection, you can do a number of things around your house. In Canada, in Manitoba, I know because I lived and taught at the University of Manitoba for 16 years. Basements are very often used for either recreation or other activities within home. And I think this is something that in a region like, you know, southern Manitoba needs to be seriously thought of. Movement of the main equipment like heating and cooling and so on, and you know, water heating boilers and so on, could be improved, or the damage can be reduced by moving them to higher elevation. Building the and protecting the entrance of water into the lower levels of home could also reduce the potential damage and flooding inside the home. Then you can kind of work a little bit further when you're building homes, kind of raising the homes on a little bit higher elevation. Red River, for example, region has a very kind of strict rules and regulations, which are consequence of the historical flooding that occurred over there. But all these measures, when you put them together, can really and significantly improve and help people in the situation like yesterday evening.
Really appreciate you making time today. Thank you for this and take care.
Thank you.
Slobodan Simonovic is Professor Emeritus at Western University in Ontario, also formerly of the U of M. You can read more about this story on our website, including pictures and video, cbc.ca/Manitoba.